We're so glad you're back for another episode of the Anna and Susanna Show. We have a big favor to ask. If you haven't already, please subscribe to our podcast through iTunes so you get a notification every time we post a new episode. Also, if you like hanging out with us as much as we like hanging out with you, please rate and review our podcast. This helps us tremendously and gives us the momentum we need to keep the show going for you. Now that we have that out of the way, buckle up, ladies. The show is coming up next.
Hey, baby, I know you've had a hard day. Packing lunches, folding laundry, getting the oil changed in the caravan. Or maybe you've spent 8 hours in the cubicle with that jerk boss looking over your shoulders. Settle down, pour a glass of red, kick your shoes off and forget about your cares, baby. It's time for the Anna and Susanna Show.
Well, hello, this is Anna Lynn Thomas from Ha Ha's for Hoo Ha's.
And this is Susanna B. Lewis of Woe Susanna. Welcome to the Anna and Susanna Show.
Oh, you know, Susanna, I feel like we've got a really good episode today because we're going to talk about our most horrifying moments or most embarrassing.
Yeah.
Which is close to what happened to us in the last episode where we talked about our guilty pleasures, which are pretty humiliating.
We were borderline there. Yeah.
We did have one listener wrote in, asked to be anonymous, and she said that she also picks and flicks, if you
does
will.
She?
She does. She picks and flicks, and she also, so she related to all of that. And then she said that she, one of her guilty pleasures is to clean the house naked.
What?
She does, yeah, just in the breeze. Let me see if I can find what she says verbatim. But she likes to be in the buff, and I was going to ask her for more
details.
Do you make sure that the Ajax doesn't go into any orifices? Because that can't be right. See, I mean, that could be problematic.
Very problematic.
Okay, let's see. She says, I don't want to get my clothes dirty when I'm already washing and I'll be showering after. So it just makes sense.
Wait, I don't know if it just.
I don't know what she looks like, but do you have a relatively small chest? Because all I can think of with my boobs is that they would just be just drooping everywhere, sliding against the carpet when I'm kind of like bent over trying to pick up things. You know what I mean?
I do, and unfortunately I'm envisioning it.
On your hands and knees scrubbing the floor, I'd feel pretty vulnerable.
I mean, I guess, I don't know, I'll have to try it and see.
Yeah, try
other people home. It's like the house, like the husband sit on the couch and the kids eating, there's company over.
She does it when she's alone. Husband's at work and kids are at school. Mm-hmm. So that gives us a little extra clear. So it's kind of like, could you imagine if the kid, like one of the kids was sick and came home early, or maybe she forgot that it was a half day and they walk in and they're like, Mom?
Or the UPS man just showed up and the front window was open and then it turned into a Cinemax special.
the beginning of a Cinemax movie.
You hear a saxophone. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Are those my Swiffer sweepers I ordered?
Oh, that Prime really does come in 2 days. Wink, wink.
Wink, wink. Sit on your dusting cloth and just rub your bare butt all over the dining table.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, sounds fun. Sounds fun. I
would just have to put two like sponges at the end of my boobs and then just let that help me clean.
What if she cleans houses for a living and she does that in other people's houses, like while they're at work? That's a merry maid.
They've got like one of those drop cams and they pull that up and they're like, oh God, we've got to burn our couch. She's sitting on it. Bare ass. last.
Oh, gosh. Well, that's good. And the same lady picks and flicks, so
yeah, oh,
maybe
yeah.
That's my next step. That's the next logical step for me.
She said, by the way, the booger flicking and pimple popping is gross but totally normal. So she's affirmed us. She's affirming us. She's a kind listener. She's one of okay. us, basically.
Well, keep doing you then, Anonymous.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I could see cleaning the house naked being, breezy, adventurous. Mm-hmm. I've just got too many windows and I haven't bought blinds yet. I could just see that being a real Grandma Helen. Mm-hmm. Like, have you, so.
Yeah, you've got to have some, there has to be some prerequisites there.
I was getting dressed in front of my soon to be 2-year-old and she talks baby talk and she talks like full sentences that don't make any sense. So she was talking to me and I'm like, uh-huh, uh-huh. And then I took my top off and she like stuttered. She's like, I'm like, do you forget these? Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, if that's what my 2-year-old's doing, who's innocent and has no idea what's going on, I can only imagine what would happen if the UPS guy came, because
things could get freaky.
Real freaky.
They could. Or you could end up in jail. It could go so many ways.
Is that illegal? I wonder if you had huge windows all over your house and you walked around naked, if that was illegal, or if a cop would just knock on your door and say, put a robe on.
You're disturbing people. I don't know. I remember hearing a story one time about a man who used to walk out and get his newspaper in the buff every morning. Yeah. And the neighbors complained. And I don't know. I think he's serving a life sentence in San Quentin now.
I think that is a man getting his jollies. I don't think there is anything innocent about that. No. I think there's a part of him that thinks it's gets turned on by the fact that his old beer belly and his dingleberries are out there for the neighbors to see. That's what I think.
No, I can't do it. I ran out to get my mail in my gown one time early.
Yeah.
Did I already tell that? And the school bus came by.
No, that's amazing.
Yeah. And it was still warm. It was like when school first started, August, September. So it was just a sheer gown, white gown. And I thought, I can make it. I can make it really quick. I had to put a letter in there before the mailman came. I was like, I can make it. And then I heard, the school bus brakes.
Of course.
God, it was horrible.
Of course. And
I'm not a fast runner, but I ran fast that day. Looked like a ghost. And that white... My neighbor across the street, he did actually, I was telling him about that. And he said, yeah, I don't know if he really did or not, but he said, yeah, I saw you run out like an angel.
Was it like a Blanche Devereaux type of robe? Was it that kind of sheer,
No, it wasn't sexy. It was my mother's old nightgown from probably 97 or something, 95, just a white cotton.
Yeah.
Straight. Gown, like you can still find the old lady section at Penny's or somewhere.
Okay, so it wasn't sheer.
Oh, you could see through it though.
So
just
amazing.
White cotton. Yeah, you could see.
Well, my mom said, she's like, well, now that you live in a house, you better get up and just get dressed first thing, because you'll be shocked how many people just come right up to your door. And she was not kidding. At least when I was living in the condo, there weren't like windows wrapped all around my door where people can just look right in and make eye contact with me. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Oh, well, so today we're going to talk about our most embarrassing moments. And I feel like I've even forgotten some of my best ones. I was trying to remember them. I think I tried to put them out of my memory forever. But I want to hear from you. First of all, you had a bit of a traumatizing moment this past weekend, and I wanted to encourage you to share it as some therapy. But if you're not ready, we don't have to go there.
I don't think I'm ready yet.
Okay.
Anna.
Okay.
I'm still working through some things. Some appointments have been made. I don't know if this is the best. I'm just not ready.
You're just not ready. I don't blame you. We'll just let them know just a little bit that you had a speaking gig and it just didn't go the way you wanted it to go.
Yeah. I had a panic attack in front of at a speaking gig. That's all. I'm sorry. It's Harry Potter.
Does your phone have a Harry Potter ringtone?
It does.
Incredible.
There's an embarrassing moment number one.
Oh my gosh. Amazing.
I just put it on around Christmas time because, you know, Harry Potter's a wonderful Christmas movie.
You know what? I have such wonderful thoughts because I had Lucy in December and I remember just being a new mother with my very first baby, and the family, ABC family, would do marathons. Yeah. And my husband and I would record it on the DVR and then we watched them one after another. I just remember just really cozy Christmassy feelings. So, you know.
I still have them saved on my DVR from last year.
Oh, yeah.
We started watching them a few nights ago. Yeah.
Oh, wonderful. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So she's not going to tell us the doozy. She's not ready. We'll keep checking in on Susanna to see if and when she ever is ready.
Progress.
It just may not be funny yet. You know what I mean?
It's not.
Because when you tell an embarrassing story, you want the people to laugh, not cringe or cry with you. So that's, we've got to be past that moment. So, okay. All right. So you go first. Tell me one of your doozies.
Okay. Another doozy. Let's see. It was Friday, August the 13th, 1999.
Is that a real date? Is that
for real?
That
is for real. It's Friday the 13th.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. In 99. Okay. We're graduating high school.
Just graduated high school, 18 years old, just turned 18 a few weeks before, was at a party, and it was like, you remember the great 90s movies, Varsity Blues, and all the parties in the movies, the best parties, you know?
Right.
It was like that kind of, like, you remember those movies always had actresses with three names, Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Right, exactly, yes.
Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Were you Susanna B. Joyner back then?
No. No, I hadn't reached that status yet.
Okay.
But anyway, it was one of those epic, you know, 90s parties. And I remember we were at this beautiful house and we were outside all by the pool. It was probably about 50 of us teenage kids, you know. And I was standing outside by the pool with my friends, and there was this boy that I had been borderline in love with for a long time. And he and I had been talking, but he had a girlfriend that he had for years, you know, throughout high school, and they were always together. Mm-hmm. But they would be on again, off again. Whenever they would break up, which was quite frequently, he would always call me, and I was an idiot and like, oh, yay, you know, whatever, yippee up. So we were talking and he showed up at this party with this girl and I was really upset and I was like, you know, we just went to Sonic together Thursday, you know, what right. is he doing? So he showed up with her. Now I have to set the scene here. Okay. We all know that I'm 5'11 and not a petite girl by any means. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Now she was very petite. Probably maybe 5 foot tall, very, really cute girl, short hair, cute girl, very small frame, small and petite. Petite is the word we want to remember, okay?
Okay, yes.
If we stood beside each other, it was like Danny DeVito and Arnold Schwarzenegger and twins.
Yeah, okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
So she shows up at the party with him, and I'm upset. And I'm standing there. I remember Pearl Jam Black was playing. I will always remember that. I'm standing there minding my business, and I feel a tap on my shoulder. I turn around slowly, and suddenly my head is knocked off of my shoulders. Okay?
Okay.
This very petite girl, I don't know if she jumped or had a step stool, knocked me in the eye.
Just punched you with a fist?
Punched me like a 600-pound sumo wrestler, as small as she was, okay?
Okay.
So I'm immediately blinded with pain.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what? I just got hit in the face in front of all these people. Wait, that's not the embarrassing part. Just hold on.
Okay.
So I said, oh my gosh. And she just stood there and she had kind of like, you know, Popeye, like bracing for a battle, like, you know, standing in front of me, like bobbing her fist, like ready to tear me apart.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember it went quiet, like, you know, record scratch, the CD stopped playing, everyone was staring, all yeah. these 50 people. And I had a Zima bottle in my hand. I don't condone underage drinking, by the way. A Zima bottle, probably full of Jolly Ranchers.
Yeah, of course.
And I lifted this bottle up with every intent to hit her in the face with this beer, with the Zima bottle, okay?
Okay.
Now, granted, this is not some low-class track. This is at a beautiful home by this gorgeous pool with a rock waterfall and stuff. You know, it's not like we're out in a, you know, trailer court wrestling in mud.
Right.
So I pull my Zima bottle back, ready to... completely unaware that if I could really hurt her with a glass ball.
Yeah, and go to jail.
This could turn into, yeah, a felony, right?
Right.
So as I've got it up, this guy I went to high school with out of nowhere charges me. We're friends. Okay, I have no beef with him.
But he doesn't want you to do something you're going to regret.
He doesn't. He charges me head first and throws me into the swimming pool.
Okay.
I sank to the bottom of the pool like a stone. And I remember, it's like, you remember The Graduate with Dustin Hoffman, how he's just at the bottom of the pool floating and doesn't want to come up, you
yeah,
know?
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, I can't come up. I'm just going to drown. I can't come up. There are people, like, I looked up and I could see people, the reflection of all these people looking over into the pool.
Right, right. Yes, I can envision it perfectly.
It was horrible. With a swollen eye. Don't forget the eye.
Okay.
So, Friday the 13th. So I finally, I'm not a fish. I had to come up for air. So I came up from air. Now, let me tell you this. I'm in kind of like on the slant, the slope. So I didn't have to swim. Like, my feet could touch the bottom of the shallow end.
Uh-huh.
But I had on these American Eagle blue jeans, wide leg boot cut. Okay.
Yes, I remember those.
You can imagine how heavy they are wet.
Oh, I can only imagine.
So you can imagine what you look like walking across a pool in blue jeans that weigh 42 pounds, right?
We wore heavy, heavy jeans in high school.
Heavy, so heavy.
Our kids don't understand the amount of weight we walked around in.
They don't. Silver tab Levi's. It was a workout.
It was a workout. The cuffs, it was like triple denim back then. Triple thick denim. And then the boys would wear those like JNCOs. Not usually the popular jock guys, but, you know, remember those JNCOs that were just all just so much jean.
Yeah, so much.
Pockets for pockets that could hold teddy bears.
Yards and yards of fabric.
Yards of fabric. And that would just drape across the floor and then get all ripped up and shriveled.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's like you pop the seam and spread them out end to end. You could cover half the continent.
Yes. And if it didn't cover their whole shoe, they would cut up the back so that it would cover the whole shoe.
Yes.
Because God forbid our shoe shows.
That's right.
We were so, yeah. Our generation is so deep. So deep.
Do you remember the Delia's catalog? Did you ever look at Delia's catalog?
Yeah, but I couldn't fit into a lot of the, or it's not that I couldn't fit into it. No, I really couldn't fit into it. Like, it was really more for like 12-year-old Asian girls, if I recall.
Kind of was. The girl that hit me that night had on a Delia's outfit.
Okay. Makes sense.
Very small, petite, and cute. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So anyway, I'm sloshing out of this pool. You know, it's hard to walk and move. I don't remember people laughing, but I remember just silence. Everybody just staring at me. It was horrific. So I come up out of the steps, you know, water, you know, pouring off of me like, you know, pulling a quilt out of a pool. It's just dripping off of me.
Yeah.
And my best friend, my group of friends are arguing, not fighting, but having a verbal argument with the girl who hit me and her group of friends and defending me and this and that and saying, well, you know, it's his fault. He calls her all the time and this and that, trying to defend me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the guy's just standing there loving it. I should have gone and just hit him at that moment.
Seriously.
So anyway, I walk across the yard I go get in my car and I just sit there soaking wet in the car by myself, trying to regroup as my eye is throbbing. And then people start coming to the car, and I had driven some of my friends there. So I waited and they finally got to the car. And then the girl who hit me came out to the car and was yelling at me. And I thought she was going to hit me again or whatever. And I sped off, probably scared.
You're all scared. Little petite girl yelling at you and you just peel off.
There's a foot height difference here. A foot, if not more.
I need to envision the car you're driving. I need the full picture. What kind of car are you driving?
I was driving my friend's car and she had a two-door Ford Explorer with leather seats and moonroof.
Okay.
It was snazzy. There
okay,
was like
so you were
choice in the CD player. I'm not an addict. I remember that.
God, I remember K's Choice. I had that album.
I did too. I still got it.
Okay, I was kind of hoping you were in some like tiny Ford Fiesta when you speed off, but no. Okay.
Like a Probe or something.
Yeah, exactly.
With my head sticking out the sunroof because I'm too tall.
Those Honda Civics when they were real tiny and boxy. Yeah. Okay. Oh. So it was an Explorer.
It was an Explorer.
So she comes after this tiny little thing and you're like, pwee! You peel off.
Yeah. So I'm humiliated and wet and swollen, and we go to my friend's house. Her parents are asleep. It's late. We go get in her freezer and get a pack of frozen black-eyed peas for my eye.
Uh-huh.
Put those on. And then we decided, I knew where the after party, like when everybody was going to leave that party at that pretty house, we had all been talking about going to another friend's house afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
So one of my good friends happened to live next door to the very house where everyone was going to go. So we decided to go over there. And we're sitting there in her window and we're seeing these cars pull up. And like the girl who had hit me drove a Grand Am. Okay. I remember the Grand Am.
Okay.
So they pull up and my friend's like, oh, we're finna show them. We're going to show them. So she picks up, you know, we had a Nokia flip phone, you know, no internet, just for calls.
Yes.
And she picks up and she calls the police. She talks like an old woman. She's like, yeah, there's a party going on down here, and gives the address. And she's like, I can't get any sleep. I need you to come break this party up. So that was going to be our revenge, right? Is we're going to hopefully get this party broken up.
Yes.
So we're waiting at the window. The police finally come, break up the party. And I was like, yeah, well, you know. I showed her. She didn't get, they probably went to another party. It didn't matter. They just left there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I put a little hitch in their giddy up, which made me feel better. So I went home. My mother's asleep. I go to bed. Now, I'm supposed to work at the dry cleaners the following day.
Okay, yes.
I live in a town of 7,000 people.
Uh-huh.
I know the word has spread around town. I know everybody I know. And people I don't know will be coming to the dry cleaners to see my eye tomorrow.
Right.
So I'm like, there's no way I'm going to work tomorrow. So I called the dry cleaner at 2 o'clock, the building, the office at 2 a.m. and they had an answering machine. And I left a message. I said, yeah, I'm sorry. I'm just not feeling good tonight. I'm not going to be able to come in tomorrow. I just want to let you know. Because I didn't want to get up and call them at 6 a.m. I was going to sleep.
Right. Exactly. Common sense.
Yeah, common sense. So my mom comes in. She sees me sleeping there till she's coming in to wake me up at 7 a.m. And I'm asleep with a completely bruised face in my eye. And she starts flipping out. Oh, my God, Susanna, what happened? Were you in a wreck and this and that? I said, no, Mom, I'm all right. I told her what happened. And she's like, I told you not to be messing with that boy. My mom was like, I'm going to press charges. I said, no, you're not. I said, no, Mama, you're not. I'm embarrassed enough. We're not pressing charges. I have to pick her out in a lineup.
Yeah, exactly.
I can't believe she did this. I'm at least going to call her mother. I said, Mama, we are 18 years old. You're not calling anybody's mama. She's like, okay. So word is spread around town. People are coming to my house. The boy across the street like comes and knocks on my bedroom window and asks if I'm all right. You know, people are coming in and out. My friends are bringing me McDonald's, you know, and yeah. gifts, chocolate, peanut butter cups and stuff. So it really screwed my eye up. And to this day, I still can't see out of that eye close one. And secondly, and here's the real embarrassing part. He and I went out a few weeks later. What an idiot. We did.
Your eyes like kind of like still a little swollen in half. It's like just that one eye is just kind of like halfway down.
Yeah. Like we went to the movies. I'm like, we're going to have to sit really close up front because I can't see very well. But anyway, eventually they got married.
Oh, they married. Gosh.
I don't think they're married now, but they did get married. But was pretty traumatic. But that actually wasn't the first fight I was in. It was the last one.
I've never been punched in the face. I can't even imagine it.
Horrific feeling. It is absolutely horrific. And the first fight I was in was a girl thought I wanted her boyfriend, which I didn't. I was a junior in high school and we were riding around our town and she like flashed for me to pull over and I pulled over and we got out in the supermarket parking lot and she just reached up and started grabbing my hair and I grabbed her hair and for 15 minutes we just grabbed each other's hair and people like stopped to see what we were doing and then after a few minutes they drove off because they weren't interested.
They're like, this is boring.
This is a terrible fight. And I finally said to her, why are we doing this? And she's like, because you love him. I was like, no, I don't. She's like, oh, okay. Let go. And we went our separate ways.
Oh, man.
So that was my first altercation. But let me tell you, being hit in the eye is no good. And then being thrown in a pool afterwards in American Eagle jeans.
I can't even imagine. I just can't.
That's still the deal.
That's like a screenplay. That has got to be written into a screenplay. It is just too good.
It is. It's good. And I told that we had to tell about our embarrassing moments in a creative writing class in college, my first year of college, or something to do. I don't know. We had to do some kind of book report. And I told about that. And this is true. This girl came up to me after. I didn't know her. She was from a different town from me. She was like, oh, you're the one that so-and-so, and she said the girl's name, that so-and-so beat up. I heard it was somebody a lot bigger than she was. I was like, yeah. Can you envision Danny DeVito hitting Arnold Schwarzenegger in the face?
And then you wound up with your Zima. I keep getting like a visual of you peeling off with fear in your eyes when she starts coming towards the car.
I was talking a lot of game before she got out there. I was like, yeah, I was going to mess her up with that Zima bottle. And then he pushed me in the pool. I wish she'd come out here right now. And she's like, here I am. And I'm like,
exactly.
I'm not messing with her. No. She packs a punch.
You're like, it's okay. It's just okay. Kidding. Oh, man. That's a good one.
She terrified me for years. After that, I haven't seen her in a long, long time. But if I saw her tomorrow at Target, I would probably go the other way.
Well, they say revenge or success is the best revenge. Maybe she's seen your video going around and she's like, oh, God, that's what's become of her. At least her eye's a little off.
I think I see that left one kind of moving towards the center.
Yeah.
Kind of lazy.
Looks a little lazy to me. Good.
Uh-huh. I did that. I do. I have vision problems. I have to wear, I'm supposed to wear contact in that one eye. I'm supposed to wear a contact. And it says so on my driver's license.
Oh my gosh. Amazing.
Restrictions. So she got that and she got the boy, which they're divorced now. So,
man.
Whatever. Okay.
Permanent damage like that. That's some bull crap.
It is. It is. Every time I go to shoot a deer rifle, you have to use the one eye.
Yeah.
I hear Pearl Jam Black again.
Oh,
I'm like,
man.
I can't sight it in. Thanks, August 13th, 1999.
So good. So good.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Thanks.
I would say for my... I would say my ultimate embarrassing story is my fart story, which if you're a Hoo-Ha's fan, surely you've heard of it. It's a story I wrote, I think almost 5 years ago that went super duper viral.
And it's horrific. It's horrific.
It is horrific. And I think it's doing its rounds again. I saw somebody else. Someone was like, oh, I saw someone shared you in my feed. It's funny because it just will pop up and go viral every once in a while. But so if I'm not going to share that story because I'm going to assume that there's a majority of you that have already read the story. If you haven't, you can just Google Anna Lynn Thomas fart story. It'll pop right up. Or even just fart story or fart girl or ha-has for hoo-has fart. Whatever. It'll all pop up for you.
Fart girl. Fart girl. You need a cape that says that.
I know. So, you know, there's a couple of them. One that strikes me was when I was a little girl, and I've just really good friends with this girl named Adrienne, and her dad was a doctor. She's now a doctor. And her mom was a nutritionist. And I wouldn't say they were highfalutin. They were wonderful people, but, you know, a little upper crust. And I was a chunky kid. And so Adrienne wanted to, her mom had just bought sled shoes. So they're basically like sleds that you strap to your feet. They're basically death traps. I mean,
like
they're
tennis rackets.
Yes, but they're sleds. Okay. So her mom bought these and she goes, if you girls want to try these out, these might be fun. So Adrienne puts on her snowsuit. And her mom lets me borrow hers. Now, her mom is extremely petite. And even though I was like, I don't know, 12, I was still chunky enough that it wasn't easy putting me into that snowsuit. Okay? So I was already testing those seams out. And so we go out there with her snowshoes. And Adrienne goes first. She puts the snowshoes on. And the minute she hits snow, she is flying. Okay? Now, before I put on the snowsuit, and if anybody's a skier, you know this, like, I kind of had to pee, but I had put so much effort into getting into the freaking thing that I didn't want to, like, go undress and pee. And I was like, you know what? I'll be fine. So she starts flying down the hill, screaming. Okay, and then she's like headed towards trees in a forest. And it was like her legs started to like split apart. Uh-huh. And she's screaming, really thinking she's going to die. And like the shrillness, like, you know, when you can just tell someone's not having fun and they really think death is imminent. It started to turn that way, but I couldn't stop laughing. And so I was laughing and laughing, and then I started to pee a little. And then it was a little bit again. And then it was a little bit again. And then it was the whole thing.
In the snowsuit.
In the snowsuit, and it wasn't my snowsuit.
Oh, Anna.
So Adrienne takes her shoes off, and she makes her way up the hill, and she's like, do not get on these things. They're freaking death traps. I was like, Adrienne, I got to tell you something. I have peed in your mom's snow pants. She goes, well, what do you mean, just like a little bit? I go, no, Adrienne, like my whole bladder has emptied into your mom's snow pants. There was like nothing I could do.
Oh,
and
Marcy.
She's like, okay, well, I go, please don't tell your mom. I'm so embarrassed. I mean, I was just horrified to tell her mom that this 12-year-old just peed her pants in her snowsuit. She's going to be like, who the hell's a Santa kid? She ain't coming back over. Peeing in my snowsuit? What's wrong with her?
She's eating us out of house at home and peeing in things.
I did, too. I was like, hey, what's in your pantry?
I can say that because I was a fat kid, so I can say that too. Yeah.
No, my mom was so healthy in our house that we barely had sugar. Crunchy. Mm. My mom was crunchy before that was a thing. And so when I would go over to somebody's house who had like Twix or like not Twix, Trix cereal, I was like, can I have 5 bowls? Thank you. Like I would always binge at other people's houses.
Yeah.
I told my mom, I was like, Mom, I don't know if that's a good way because I would just binge at someone else's house and probably embarrassed my whole family with the amount of oatmeal cakes I ate. Little Debbie oatmeal cakes.
Anyway. Like an after school special. Anna. And then that sad music and you're up in your room just shoving them in your mouth. Exactly. Anna, come down for your broccoli.
No.
No.
And then I would come down and they would think something was wrong with my thyroid mm-hmm. because I kept gaining weight, even though all I was eating was lean meats and vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
Turns yeah. out I had a whole box of Little Debbies under my bed.
So good.
Yeah. So she goes, okay, well, let's get you out of this and let's see if we can just wash these out. So we try to like wash out the snow pants, and then that's not really working because they're snow pants. So we just spray exclamation. Do you remember exclamation?
Yes. Yes.
So
the
we
bottle looked like an exclamation.
Yes. We just cover it in exclamation and then hang it up in one of their guest bedrooms in the closet. And Adrian's like, I'll come back in a couple of days and get it out. It'll be just brand new.
Oh, gosh.
I don't know what I did for underwear or what happened with that. I think I was staying over, so I probably had another change of clothes. I think it was probably 30 minutes in where I've forgotten about it and moved on with my life. And her mom comes in and she goes, girls, can you explain why my snow pants smell like pee and perfume? And then I didn't know what to do after that. I was like, Adrian, do you want to take this one? I don't know. I think I went home. So... that's one.
Yeah.
I've got others. Do you have another one you'd like to share?
I have a lot. Yeah, I guess. Well, we went, speaking of being chunky kid, I just thought of this one. I had forgotten about it till you said that. We went camping with my friend's family. And the next day I had somehow left my underwear outside of my, we slept in like tent, like really roughing it camping. Mm-hmm. And I'd left my underwear beside my bag, and my friend's brother came in, and their stepmother was a very large lady. Uh-huh. And he was like, Beth left her underwear and like held them up for everybody.
They were yours.
Beth is 38 years old, 40 years old, and I'm 11. Okay. And I'm like, there's no way I'm claiming those underwear. So he's like, Beth, why are your underwear in our cabin? She's like, what are you yelling about? You know, he's kind of smarty. She's like, those aren't my underwear. And so he starts, he's like, whose underwear are these in our tent? You know, and looking around and all these other little thin 11-year-old girls, you know. I'm like, he's going to know them. I cannot claim these big granny panties. They're like grandmother panties out of a Hanes 5-pack, and I'm 11. You know,
yeah,
our
yeah.
friends have cute little flowery and, you know, Popples or Care Bears or something, and I have the big granny with the wide elastic waistband.
Yeah, exactly.
I never claimed them. I was like, I don't know. Somebody came in here in the night and left my work, and everybody yeah. thought it was a mystery. And I was, I would set think if he knew they were mine, he would have tormented me relentlessly. But my face was so hot and so red. Because I was like, I'm not climbing those darn underwear.
That's so good. So
there's
good.
No way. My mom was probably like, you left your good underwear out there in the woods. You know, I tried to pay for those. Those are adult sizes. They cost more.
I remember I went on a trip with my friend and her dad. He was a single dad. And he worked for my dad. And so our families kind of knew each other. And we went to a trip to Florida. And I started my period on a trip with a construction worker man and his daughter. Okay. But I didn't think I started my period. I thought I was pooping my pants.
Oh.
So I was like.
That's a whole nother sensation. That's a different sensation.
I was
That's
like,
whole
what?
Area.
I go, what's wrong with me? Why can't I seriously thought something was wrong with me that I was pooping my pants and I couldn't feel it. So
Wait,
I
this
would...
was the first time you ever started?
It was my very, very first period.
Oh, I missed that part. Oh.
With a man named Merle Dills. And his daughter, Merle Dills. Okay? He still works for my dad. So, of course, I'm not going to tell him, hey, guys, I got a problem. I'm keep crapping my pants. I mean, we're all in the same, like, hotel room together. Uh-huh. So I, you know, change my underwear and I hide them. And then it keeps happening. So day after day, the whole trip, I think I'm pooping my pants. So finally I come home and I tell my mom, I go, Mom, I don't know. Something's wrong with me, but I'm embarrassed to tell you this, but I poop my pants. Every day I was there, I poop my pants. And she goes, you pooped your pants? And I go, yes. And It's in the laundry room right now. And she goes, why don't you bring it to me? I go, no, I'm not going to bring you my poopy pants. She goes, bring it to me. And then I brought it to her. And she's like, oh, honey, you've started your period.
Oh, my gosh.
For my very first time, I started my period with a man named Merle Dills. It was pretty bad.
My first, I was wearing white Jordache jeans.
Of course.
Absolutely, I swear to you, I was in a turquoise top, and I had to walk all the way in my English class. I started an English class, and it left a stain in the desk, and I had to walk all the way, and my teacher did not even offer to give me a shawl or something to cover myself, and I had to walk all the way from the new building way at the other end of the school all the way to the office to call my mother. And it was mortifying. It was horrible. Oh, yeah.
That happened to me in middle school, and my sister had to come get me, and I remember she wouldn't let me sit on her seats. She's like, get out your kid dress. So I had to like levitate off the seat the whole drive home. Yeah. Well, no, see, that's... did you know that it, so you must have known that it was, because usually the first time isn't quite right. You know what I mean? It's not like blood necessarily. It's more of a, that's why I thought it was right. Exactly. But you figured it out.
Yeah. I figured it out because I was a late one. And all of my friends already had. And so I knew exactly what it was. And I was waiting for mine to come. So when it did, I was like, yes, but I have on white pants.
I tell you, I was pretty early. The late perioders, it's a blessing in disguise. Although you probably didn't really feel quite like a woman. How old were you? Do you mind if I ask?
It was eighth grade.
So you eighth were what, grade. 14? 13, 14?
13, 13 or 14.
Oh, that's, yeah, 13, still, that's, 13, that's, 13. That's still all right. I think I was 11. I know some who were like 15, 16. They were like, am I a woman? Who am I?
Oh, that's just, no.
That's just stupid.
I ate too many McDonald's chicken nuggets to wait that long. I mean, I had enough hormones ruined.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so here's one, and I hope I can tell it as horrifying as it was, but so I got my master's degree when I was working out in California, and I picked to be the chair of my thesis one of the hardest, most rigid professors we had, because I have this really sick thing where I want to challenge myself, because she was also the best. And so the chair of your thesis, if you're not familiar, is basically she is a professor who is heading up your thesis with you, and then you have three other professors that will advise. So as you're doing your thesis, you work one-on-one with this particular professor, and then you advise with the group, and then they will, then you present it and they approve it and it becomes approved and it's a whole process.
Yeah.
So the chair of my thesis was, she was tough. And I had heard that the relationship between a student and their, chair can get really emotional and weird. And people had warned me, but I was like, what? Like, don't you just have a normal teacher-student relationship? I just thought, okay, that may be you guys, but not with us. Well, at one point she had me go to some other professor to get a scale. I was trying to measure cognitive dissonance, and a certain professor had a scale that she wanted me to go talk to him and see get advice from him. So I did, and he worked out this amazing scale. So I call her back and I'm like, oh my gosh, he is amazing. He gave us the most incredible scale to work on. I can't wait to meet with you. Well, teachers have egos, and she wanted me to go get help from him, but she didn't want me to fawn all over him and come with like the amazing scale that's going to save the thesis, because her ego wants her to be the one to dictate that, right?
Right.
So when I meet with her, I'm all happy, and she is just a nasty biz. And she's like, so you've gone rogue. I mean, it was almost like she was mentally ill, right? And she had students waiting to meet with her. It was her office hours. And I go, excuse me? And she goes, you've gone rogue. And lambasted me. And I burst into tears. Now, normally I don't do this, but I so wanted her approval and to be her most amazing student, because she was so such a tough nut to crack, that I started bawling. And I was like, I thought I was trying to impress you. I thought you would like it. Like, this is how I'm talking to my professor in her office hours. People can hear me. And I was a boss. Like, I had students who worked under me. And some of my students were in line hearing me cry like this. Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I thought you were so when I cry like that, she backed off. She's like, okay, I understand where you're coming from. Okay, we're fine. So I'm like, okay, well, I've got to go. I've got to go back to my office. So I go, you know, do I look like I cried? She goes, no, we'll rehash later. And I go, okay, well, so she goes, here, give me a hug. So she gives me a hug and it's really firm. And I don't know why I did this, but in her ear, I whisper, I love you.
Stop.
She doesn't say anything back.
She didn't say me too.
Nope. She just let go, patted my back, and off I went.
Oh.
It took me days to shake that off. I was like, why did I say that? Why did I say that? I just whispered it in her ear.
I love you.
I love you.
Had you just seen Terms of Endearment or something?
I don't know. It was like I was so vulnerable and working full time and getting my master's and my thesis. There was so much pressure. It was like, it was out of, it was just, I lost my mind. I mean, I don't know what to say, but that one, ugh.
And were things awkward between you after that?
No, she played it pretty cool, but I kept wanting to like bring it up. And I remember my friends were like, just drop it. Okay. Because if you bring it up, you're just going to make it even more like, hey, you know, when I said I love you, like, I don't. That was so weird. You know what I mean? Like, what, I mean, how can you recover? You really can't. I've got that one. I've also got some good falling ones. Freshman in college, very first day, came out of an anthropology class, I think, and there were students lined up on the railing. And they were smoking or talking or whatever, probably about 15 people. And the very first step I hit, I fall face first and skid on my stomach all the way down.
Was it silent?
It was silent. It was silent. And that is the worst. You want people to laugh, especially for me. Like if I embarrass myself, I want you to just make fun of me. Don't get serious, because then I'll just turn inside myself and just die a slow, painful death. I want to be made fun of. That's how I recover, is laughing and making fun of myself and other people teasing me. So lovingly teasing me, of course. So I hop up and they're just looking at me like, and this girl goes, oh my God, are you okay? And I'm like, first day of school, freshman, fall down the stairs, nailed it. And they all continue to just stare at me blinking. And then the girl goes, oh my God, you're bleeding. Okay. My chin was bleeding, dripping blood down my neck. Oh, it wasn't a serious cut. It was just a bleeder, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
I had skinned my hands and my forearms down the stairs. And so she goes, oh my God, you're bleeding. Are you okay? And I was like, yeah, totally fine. Thanks. Bye. And then I just walked home bloody. First day a freshman in college.
Let's see, the aftermath is what, when you're alone by yourself on the walk home.
That's when I cried. And then I felt the pain. Yeah. Then I felt the pain of it, like the burns, the cement burns. I finally could feel it. And then I cried. I was like, oh God, that was horrible.
That is, falling is always the worst. I've fallen several times. That's horrible.
Are you just like, I feel like from your height, it's a pretty good fall. Give me like one of your best ones, one of your best falls.
Oh gosh. Oh, it is a pretty good fall. It doesn't feel comfortable. I guess in high school, I fell in the hallway one time. I don't know why. My feet were growing really fast and I just... One of those, you know, you're seemingly doing okay, and then you're on the floor. I had that happen. I think that happened twice. And it was full hall, like between classes, changing classes.
Yeah.
Where your books go sailing across the, you know. I've fallen as an adult. But that's not quite as, I don't know, that's not the high school years, you know. That's not quite as bad.
I don't know, like if I was at the mall right now and I fell, God, I don't know if I could recover. I mean, that's embarrassing.
See, yeah, that is true.
You know, people running to help you up, and you're like, no, I'm fine, I swear.
I have a lot of times. Do you know when you're, I saw a woman do this a few weeks ago, and I laugh when people fall.
Yeah,
but
of course.
Do you know when you trip, when you don't fall, but you just trip?
And then
do
the run, yeah.
It kind of, and then regain and keep walking like nothing happened, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
I do that a lot. I've done that more than falling. Yeah. But I watched a woman the other day. She was pumping her gas, and it was just us two out there. And she was pumping her gas, and she put it up, and she was walking to go in and pay for it or whatever. And she tripped over the island thing. And she went, and like she just kept on wobbling for like 6 or 7 steps. And then she finally regained composure. And I was laughing so loud. I didn't even realize I was laughing. She knew I was laughing at her, and she never said a word. She went in. She came back out. I made sure we didn't make eye contact. And she got in her car and left.
Oh my God. That reminds me when my sister was really pregnant, and she was wearing like these pink flip-flops that were like really tall, like just really thick, like platform cheap flip-flops.
Yeah.
Do you remember those? And she tripped in them all the time. And we were walking into the mall, and she tripped. But this huge purse, it was like a beach bag for a purse, and she swung it over her shoulder, threw it, everything falls out of it, and then she just starts like cussing. So she's like, oh, god damn it, you know. And I laugh so hard that I start peeing my pants, and then people are rushing to help her because she was like 9 months pregnant. I wasn't helping at all. She didn't land on the base, she landed on her knees. So she was fine, but she had people running to help her, and I just walked away because I was embarrassed.
Oh, gosh, it's funny.
But your gas station story reminds me, how could I have forgotten this? I went to go see a friend in Texas, and I drove down to see her, and there was another guy that I was kind of sort of seeing that had moved to Texas, and I was going to go see him and just visit him for lunch or something. And I went to get gas, and then I got a text message from him, and then I realized that I was kind of running late. So I hop in my car, and I drive off, and I hear like a goom, and I'm like, what the hell did I roll over something? I thought I like rolled over like a grate. So I'm in Dallas traffic. I don't know if you know anything about Dallas, but it's like a concrete jungle of roads and highways and chaos.
Uh-huh.
I'm on the highway, and people are staring at me. I know you know where this is going. And people are staring at me and looking at me and pointing and laughing. And finally, a guy rolls down his window. He's like telling me to like motion to roll down my window. And he's like, you've got the gas thing in your car still. You're dragging a hose. Yes. So then I got afraid that like, what if this was illegal that I drove off with it? Like, I'm on camera. You know I'm on camera. So what if they come after me for this hose? So I drive back, and I mean, it's humiliating. And people who were there who saw me drive off, like, are still there. Like, they're all,
did
like...
Did you drive back with it still in the tank? Or
yes!
Did you, like, take it out?
No, I just pull up with it, like, sparking on the road.
Oops, I forgot to leave this.
So then...
Do you have some duct tape?
I pull up to the actual tank that I was at, put it in, and the people who were there had, like, congregated to, like, tell on me. And they were laughing. And I was so mortified that I couldn't even joke my way out of it, which would be my typical thing. Like, well, don't see that every day. Like, I just was horrified. And I walk in, and it was some, like, 16-year-old girl who was like, I was like, I drove off with the tank thing. Is that bad? Like, do I have to pay you? Do I leave my insurance? Like, what do I do? She's like, it happens. It pops off. It's fine. And I was like, are you sure? She's like, yeah, it's fine. I was like, okay, well, I put it back. She's like, it's fine. So just so you know, it happens enough that they have it up. They have an attachment, so it just pops right off. Okay, I'm not the only one.
Oh, my gosh. Lord. Well, that's
highway,
good to know that there are procedures in place, I guess.
The highway dragging it. Could you imagine if it was like connected and I'm just like oils spewing everywhere and I'm like, God, what's that smell? Yeah.
What kind of car was it?
It was a Volkswagen Passat, I think. I think that was the car I was in at that time.
Passats.
Okay, so let's, unless you have any other doozies, do you want to read some from the listeners?
Well, I had the time when I was on vacation in Florida and about 19 talking to this really cute guy and a seagull pooped on my head at the pool. He's like, oh, I think one got you. I was like, oh my God.
And you like touched your head and you're like, oh my God.
Yeah, no, I didn't touch it. Like, I felt it. It was really warm and heavy.
And you don't know what it is. That has happened to me before, but I was by myself. So I wasn't that embarrassed. I was more pissed.
I was very shy anyway to be taught, even at 19, you know, shy to be taught. It's an awkward thing, no matter your age, talking to the opposite sex. And, you know, he was a cute kid. I don't know what happened. Well, nothing ever happened with us after that. So he just went back to his room.
Good thing it didn't like hit the face, you know, like graze the lips. I've had that happen to friends before. Oh, getting hit by a bird's a real downer.
That was horrible. And then I've told that story about the time I peed in the pool and I had been taking B complex vitamins and it was a neon glowing shade, radioactive surrounding me, and I blamed it on my child. And
you wrote that post for Hoo Ha's, and that was so good. Such an incredible visual.
Mm-hmm. But no, that's all I have. If you want to share some,
well, here's one. I had to message because I can't post this on FB for everyone to see. Okay, one of my most embarrassing moments happened when I was 16. My AP U.S. history class had a potluck with tons of food. When I was at the table serving myself, I turned to my teacher, who was about 60, and said, "I love chips and dick." We both got really quiet when we realized what I said. I went back to my seat, overcome with embarrassment. I don't know why I said dick instead of dip. Trust me, I had never even seen a dick before. I love chips and dick. Oh, that's good. That's a good one.
That is good. That is a good one.
Okay.
That's good.
Let's see. What do you got? You've got a couple good ones, don't you?
Lynette Croyle said, on a honeymoon, we were snorkeling and I grabbed the package of another man. I assume he was in a snorkel suit. They were snorkeling together and she just reached over and grabbed it, and it wasn't her husband. But Lynette, I have some questions. Why did you feel it appropriate? Did it just hit you at the reef that you just had to grab your husband?
Was she like underwater, like, but like underwater and muffled?
Uh-huh. She was, yeah. They were she was deep below the surface, and she reached over and grabbed another snorkeler thinking it was her husband, and it wasn't.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
I've been snorkeling. I don't know. I wasn't.
Lynette, we need details. Were you just having fun?
That is embarrassing. I'll give it to Lynette. That's embarrassing. But I mean, you got a suit on. At least nobody saw you blush. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
Nobody could identify you until afterwards on that. The painful boat ride back to shore.
Yeah, they didn't know who. Who was wearing the black snorkel outfit? Yeah.
We all were.
So, yeah. And when you all get back in the boat, somebody grab my balls.
And she blame it on somebody else.
Yeah, she looked just like you with the big undies. Just let somebody else take the hit.
Blame it on that poor old man sitting by himself at the back of the boat. It was that guy.
Yeah, it was that guy.
It's like when somebody farts and they blame it on everybody else, you know?
He looks like the kind of guy who would grab your balls. Pretty sure.
That old man's got a problem.
We better call the police. Okay, Linda Campbell Sanderson says, I stopped by the grocery store after work one night and I noticed a man was following me throughout the store. Every aisle I turned down, he was a few steps behind me. This went on for several minutes when he closed in the gap between us, almost jogging to catch up to me as I hurried to the manager's office. He finally caught me as I decided whether to kick or punch him, informed me that he was just trying to get his cart back. Apparently, I stole his cart back in the produce section. My bad, my bad. I almost also gave you a junk punch. This happened to my mom. She was at Whole Foods. They were doing wine tasting. She tasted some wine, took her cart, and started, and just went off of her merry way. And she hears some woman go, "Hey, what happened to my cart? Where's my cart?" And a man goes, "There, that woman, she took it." And the whole store like turns around and looks right at my mom.
She should have started running.
Just like that. Oh, that's happened to the best of us. I put stuff in other people's carts all the time. I'm like, I'm sorry, is that my romaine? I apologize. I wasn't paying attention.
I don't think I've ever done that. I'm surprised I've never done that, but
I've done it a couple times. If they've got just enough similar stuff to you and you're not paying attention at all, I've done it a couple times where I'll put something in it and then I realize it right away and I take it out. And then I'm like, "Oh gosh, I'm so sorry." And they're like, "Oh, it happens to me all the time," you know, or something.
Mm-hmm. So, I'm really protective of my cart. I try to keep one hand on it all times.
That's smart. Like, I leave mine with my purse, my phone. I mean, I'm reckless. I know. One of these days I'm going to regret that.
I know. Okay. Suzanne Roberts says, scene, crowded Target bathroom, sharing a stall with my potty training, loud talking 2.5-year-old boy. The boy says, "Mom, where's your wiener?" And mom says, "I'm a girl. I don't have one, remember?" And the little boy says, "Oh, mama, it'll be okay. If you're patient, one day your wiener will grow in." In the crowded Target bathroom. Now, see, at home, that's just normal. But in a crowded Target bathroom, I can see that's pretty embarrassing.
Kids can really humiliate us. I have a friend, and he's black, and he's lighter skinned. And so his son is biracial. He's married a white woman, my friend has. And they're at the store, and there's a really just dark-skinned black man. And he's like, "Whoa, that guy is black, daddy," you know. And he goes, "Yeah." He goes, "We're black, too. So, yeah, we come in all different colors." "But he's really black, daddy." He goes, "Hey, yeah, we're black. He's black. We're all black. Okay, let's keep this going." He's like, he hurries out of that aisle. And then the guy comes back into that aisle. He goes, "There's that really black guy again." It's like they just torture us.
They do.
He would not drop. He's like, "Uh-huh." Yeah, kids.
We went to the Bennett and I went in the bathroom at the ball field this summer, and there were two stalls, and it was so full. And I was like, "Well, you'll just come in with me, and we'll take turns in the same stall," because there was a line. And he went first and peed, and then I went and sat down, and he just thought, "Well, I'm done, I'm leaving," and he just turned around and opened the door. And I'm sitting there on the toilet. I said, "Bennett, shut the door." "What?" I said, "I'm sitting here on the toilet. There are people," and I think they caught a glimpse of me sitting there.
I remember taking my niece in, and a woman came in and started to go number two, and so she was kind of like tooting, you know, while she was going. And she's like, "Yeah." "Ma," she goes, "Annie, that girl's farting," and I'm like, "Uh huh." I mean, it's so hard to respond to that. Uh-huh. And then the woman's like, a little bit more after, she's like, "There, she farted again." I mean, what do you say? Like, "Yes, everybody farts." I mean, I didn't know, because she could hear us. It's just horrifying. You just get out of there. You don't even wash your hands. You're just like, "You know what? Let's just get out of here fast."
It's horrifying. We went to my mother and I were shopping one day, and we went to the bathroom at the mall in Macy's. And there were the three stalls, and one was taken. So my mom and I went in the other two, and the woman in between the middle of us was just having like tearing it up, boy, like, you know, the woods, it sounds like you're letting air out of a balloon, you know,
yes.
Like the whistling.
That's usually when people are trying to be quiet, you know, they're just trying to be quiet, but they just can't be. Yeah.
she couldn't control it. And what made, and I was laughing at that, but I was like, oh my gosh, my mama is about to cry. I know my mama is hearing this and I'm hearing this. And, you know, and you're with your mom and she laughs, you just laugh. And all of a sudden I hear my mother and she's just going, trying to hold it in, you know, and laughing at the lady. And I was like, I can't do it. And you know, when you're not supposed to laugh, that's when you really laugh. Oh, and yeah. I just started laughing, and I flushed the toilet so it would conceal the noise.
Yes.
And we finally come out at the same time to wash our hands, and we are just rolling, and we just got out of there before we saw the poor lady who was in the middle. It was horrible. That is when you have to go in public and somebody always walks in. It could be empty all day. And then when you have to go, you know, a van of church folk come in as soon as you have to go.
That always happens at work when you work somewhere full time, because, you know, everybody's got to go to the bathroom. And those are the worst, because you're like, oh, you just want to wait till it's all empty. And then sure enough, a whole train of women come in. Oh, it is the worst. But that reminds me when I was working at a newspaper, and I went in a stall, and a woman was right next to me, and she dropped something. And so I bent down, like something out of her purse, maybe. So I bent down just to look under the stall to see what she dropped. And then we both made eye contact.
I did.
We just looked right at each other. I think it was like Deb in accounting. I wasn't sure, but I was like, you just do not want to be sitting on a pot looking upside down and make eye contact with the person next to you.
No, you don't. Muzak playing.
God, it was horrible. Because she's probably like, what the hell are you doing down here? Like, at least I dropped something. What are you doing?
What if she just screamed when she saw you? She just let out a blood-curdling scream.
Oh, God. Oh, scrub God. And run. Get out of there. Well, I feel like, I mean, honestly, the more we talk, the more I've got, like, story after story. I mean, we could probably do a part two. But for now, we should probably wrap up. Mm-hmm. If you guys have any more, share it with us. And we will see if we've got something for next week. But all right, well, I'm still going to be thinking about you talking all that trash and that girl coming out like, what'd you say? And then you peel off with fear in your eyes.
That's what you took away from the story. Not me getting hit and thrown in the pool, but me just skirting off with my K's choice.
The K's choice takes the
it's
visual.
It's over now.
The K's choice takes it so over the top. Oh, the visual.
So good.
All right, Susanna. Well, if you guys aren't already following us, get your act together. You can follow me at Haha's for Hoo-Ha's or my author page, Anna Lind Thomas. Just Google me. I'll pop right up, I'm pretty sure. And then, of course, Susanna is at Whoa Susanna. Author Susanna B. Lewis. I don't know, your name got longer.
Did you include the dash? You didn't include the dash.
Whoa, Susanna dash writer Susanna B. Lewis.
Extraordinaire. Look, people didn't know I wrote books, and that's the whole point. Okay. So,
writer, videographer,
allergic to penicillin,
humorist. Susanna B. Joyner Lewis.
Quit telling people my maiden name. I don't want people to find me.
The cat's already out
Nobody
of the bag
knew
now.
My maiden name. Nobody knew my maiden name until I did this show. And especially if I just told a story about high school. Now they're going to be Googling it up. I remember when Susanna Joyner got hit in the face.
That's your Hotmail email address. That's how old yours is.
Don't tell people that. Oh, yeah, I use that site for personal things.
It's got a whole bunch of other symbols and other things in it. So don't
Gap
worry.
Coupons and stuff. I don't need people talking to me there. You can find me at Whoa Susanna at Hotmail.
Use Whoa Susanna at Hotmail, you guys. I didn't even know Hotmail was still a thing. Apparently it is.
It is. So is AOL. Somebody sent me something. I don't get off on a tangent, but somebody sent me something with an AOL address the other day.
I know. That's crazy. My AOL address was like Banana28, I think. And I had a friend from like from when I was little, like, hey, you still Banana28? I'm like, no, I'm an adult.
Banana.
I'm like, you can send the invoice to Banana28@AOL.com. Thank you.
I remember one time I gave a fake email address in college because I was embarrassed of my email address.
You're like, I don't even want your email. I'm so embarrassed.
I don't even remember what it was. It was like, I love dogs or something. And, you know, whatever. I was like, I'm not telling that in front of this class. So I just made something up. That I never got email.
Real quickly, I know we're trying to sign off here, but that reminds me of my girlfriend who started Hoo-Ha's with me, and her husband was a youth pastor, and they were trying to move churches, and a couple people weren't calling him back. She goes, well, let me look over your resume, and the email address he was giving them was sexynate28.
Stop.
So we're like, he was a youth pastor applying to churches, and the email address he was giving them was sexynate28.
Oh no, that's
or
an 68,
sexynate68, something rhymey. And he goes, well, that's just the one I've had for forever. I just didn't think to make a new one. She goes, you didn't think on your professional resume?
How so it was actually that? His email address. I thought it was a typo.
No, it was his actual email address from college. And he's
from seminary?
No, he didn't. Well, no, it wasn't from seminary. He went to like a normal college. And he just kept the one he'd always had. Or maybe it was from high school. I don't even know. But he just kept the same one. Didn't think it would be worrisome at all that the youth pastor that they want to call up the sexy Nate.
That's funny. That's gold there. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, I'm sure you guys have some more hilarious or embarrassing moments to share with us. You can be anonymous, and I'll try not to say your name on air.
I'll mispronounce it really badly.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't worry. I'll mispronounce it so badly no one will know anyway. It's fine.
Right.
So get a hold of us on our if you're not following us already, on our podcast page, The Anna and Susanna Show. And until next time, we'll see you guys later. Bye. Bye. Well, hello. This is Anna Lynn Thomas from Ha-Ha's for Hoo-Ha's.
I'm sorry. You threw me off with the well hello. This is Susanna Lewis. Dude, I'm sorry, Andy. You want to start over? You just want to keep going?
No, well, now I'm a little self-conscious about the well hello, but let's try it.
No! It's usually you just say this, you know, you just go right in. I didn't expect the well hello. I don't know. It was kind of sultry.
I'm gonna go for it one more time
go
and see
for
what
it.
Happens.
Go
okay.
For it. Now I'm prepared. Okay. Go.